to our Sunday evening service. Let's find our seats and open our hymn books, page 258. Green hymn books, page 258. Christ receive us sinful men. Green hymn books, page 258. Christ receive us sinful men. On the first. Sinners Jesus will receive, sound with word of grace to all, who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive the sinful man, make the message clear and plain. Come and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will take the sinful list. Christ receive the sinful man. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive the sinful man. Make the man. Now my heart condemns me not, pure before the law I stand. He who cleansed me from all spot, satisfied its last demand. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive the sinful man, make the man. Receive a sinful man. On the last. Christ receive a sinful man. Even me with all my sin. Purge from every spot and stain. Have with him I enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive a sinful man.
Brother Bill, you want to open us with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us back safely to church. Bless everything that goes on here in the service, and please water any seeds that were planted outside. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Favorites this evening. Favorites. You got a favorite? Raise your hand. You'll be picked. Jesse.
144.
Green hymn books only. Green hymn books. Page 144. Mighty fortress is our God. On the first.
A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood.
In times like these, page 137. In times like these, on the first.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure.
sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Bobby? 138, The Haven of Rest. On the first.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore.
136, two pages back. Master, the tempest is raging. Page 136. On the first.
Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Whether the wrath of the storm toss sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be still.
Anyone over here? No. Brother Bill. 144 on the third. 144 on the third.
144 on the third. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim,
Victory Through Grace, page 415. Victory Through Grace. got two more after this one. Page 415 on the first. Conquering now and still to conquer, rideth a king in his mind. Leading the host of all the faithful into the midst of the fight. See them with courage advancing, clad in their brilliant array, shouting the name of their leader. Hear them exultingly say, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace.
Two more. We got some kids who want some. Rebecca. 30. You got it. Page 30. Nothing but the blood. On the first.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Last one this evening. Matthew. 134 on the 4th. Got it. 134 on the 4th. My anchor holds. My anchor holds. On the 4th. Troubles almost whelm the soul. Griefs like billows o'er me roll. Tempt to seek to lure astray. Storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest fan, O gale, on my bark. By his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds.
And at this time we'll have our announcements.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to Church Foundation Baptist Church. Let's take our bulletins and go through them through it one more time. This will be the speedy version. Let's see, on our front cover we have our verse of the week. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. On our inside page we have our service times, 10:30 a.m. for the morning service on Sunday. And we're currently going through the series for new believers. We'll be in the fifth sermon next Sunday morning. And Sunday, that'll be on church attendance, so hopefully we have a good attendance next week. Sunday evening is, we're normally going through, started the book of Joshua, but tonight I'm actually going to go away from it again to preach a specified sermon. And I think I said David Ward accidentally this morning, but it's actually Mark Ward I'm preaching against. There was a guy named David that got baptized. I think I was just combining them together, so I feel bad for mixing him with a false prophet on accident. So, I guess more than one person said that I said David Ward. I apologize for that. It's Mark Ward. So anyway, that's what I'm preaching, a specified sermon about that tonight. And if you don't know who that is, then you're going to find out more than you probably want to know. Anyway, we had so many today. How did we have any salvations out there today? Nada. All right. But God's still going to bless you for going out. The praise report, you can see the salvations, baptisms, attendance totals from last week. We do have some people out sick, so let's pray for them. And we also, speaking of, I preach about prayer this morning, so don't forget Brother Cody from Yakima. His dad passed away suddenly, and Brother Rick is trying to get back from his heart attack. He's doing really well, but he's planning on trying to get home by Wednesday, so continue to pray for him. And I know that the Harringtons have a special unspoken that they had shared, and so if you just pray for them. And then Sybil's dad has been in the hospital, and he's been going through just some really bad problems, so he's been in the hospital, so if you just pray for them. And health issues going on right now, so just remember them in prayer. And the upcoming events we have this Thursday is the chili and cornbread potluck. Hopefully that will be a success. We'll have enough chili for everybody. And that'll start at 4:00 here at the church building. Make sure you mark your spicy chili if you're going to make spicy chili. Who's planning on actually making spicy chili? Anybody? You're planning on making spicy chili? Are you making spicy and mild chili? Okay, so you'll mark one. All right. Anybody else plan on making chili? I know my wife is because I already told her. All right. I'm trying to be tough, right? All right, so you're making chili. All right, so we should have enough chili to go around, hopefully. Just make a big old pot of it. Is anybody planning on making only meat chili with no beans? Yes. Well, I know we are. Anybody else making it with beans? Oh, you're making meat? Anybody making it with beans? Anybody making Cincinnati? Bill? No? Oh, okay. I don't care. I actually got some cans of Cincinnati chili. I can help you. I will help you. I can't eat it, but I will help you. I got the actual cans of Cincinnati chili at my house. Brother Brett Stockton sent them to me, and I haven't used them yet. So I'll bring them for you if you want. We'd have to heat them up in like something here, but yeah. We'll talk after church. All right, cool. So I'm looking forward to that, and that'll be Thursday. If you want to come early, bring your board games if you want to play some board games. I don't know if we can get a Risk game done in 2 hours or Monopoly, but you can figure out something. And the missions conference is in Faithful Word in Tempe, the 6th to the 10th. That's coming up soon. And homeschool field trip to Sky Zone Trampoline Park. That's at 11:00 on the 14th. I believe that's a Tuesday. See Mrs. Woods for all the details. And the 26th is the Pi Social. The 17th of November, it's not marked in here, but that's going to be the next soul winning 4-hour session. Kind of worked out pretty good, except for the rain yesterday. The food worked out really good. I was actually thinking about running it back and doing the same area, but this time we'll hit an apartment complex. So if it rains, we won't get smoked like we did. Well, smoked by the rain. At the end of the day, I was just like, I was toast. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But the end of the day, the food was really good. Like, I mean, that was some genuine German cuisine there. So if you didn't get to go, you missed out. It's worth it just to go to try that food. So anyway, who had the strudel that was there? You guys, how was the strudel, Brother Jesse? Good. Was it like pretty like good on compared to other strudel you've had in your life? Well, that's in Germany, bro. Oh, I'm just kidding. So it looked good. Anyway, I wanted to break my diet right then and there, but I resisted. All right. That's all I got for announcements. I think I sang happy birthday and all that stuff to everybody. Yep. And then, yeah, make sure you congratulate the Conlins on the birth of Samuel Leonard. And everything's going well with them. And make sure you congratulate them. All right. That's all I have for announcements. Let's go ahead and sing another song. We'll receive the offering.
All right. Sing our next song, page 207. Only a Sinner. Page 207, Only a Sinner. 207, only a sinner, out loud on the first. Not have I gotten, but what I receive, grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus have found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Tears unavailing, no merit had I. Mercy had saved me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face. But now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving a Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it what I embrace, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace.
Great singing this evening. At this time, we'll receive our offering. Brother Jesse, bless the offering for us.
Lord, I thank you for being able to gather here this afternoon. I just ask you to bless this service. I ask you to bless this preaching. And bless both the gift and the giver for this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Please follow along as we read the entire chapter. Second Timothy chapter 3, the Bible reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Brother Robert, will you pray for the services?
Amen. All right, like I said, I'm preaching a standalone sermon, and let's look at the verses here real quick first before I tell you the title of the sermon. I'm going to focus on verses 13 through 17, and really the whole chapter is basically about how things are just going to get worse and worse as we draw on towards the end times. And we really are, I mean, we've been in the last days since Christ came. The Bible plainly talks about that, but the days are going to draw closer. Things will get worse. The attacks will become more slick. The people that will come will be using different techniques and tactics to try to infiltrate churches and try to just take people of God down by, you know, attacking, you know, just even attacking the Bible. Like, we have a great Bible translation. Amen. In English, the King James Bible. And there's a lot of people that get attacked for using the King James only. And we get called cultists and all kinds of different nasty things because we actually have a Bible that we trust. Yep. And all these other people that say, well, we can't trust the King James. Basically, they're every other Bible onlyist. Yeah. Anything but the King James. And there's people that would, they try to pretend like they honor the King James Bible, but they really want you off of it. And so let's look at the verses here, 13 through 17. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's going to get worse. And seducers are trying to seduce us to fall away from the faith. And it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And it's funny that Rylan put that as the bulletin cover, and I didn't ask him to do that. He didn't know. I don't think he did know that I was going to preach that. Maybe he picked it up from the title of my sermon, but yeah, the title of my sermon is Mark Ward, an Evil Seducer and Deceiver. Mark Ward, an Evil Seducer and Deceiver. You're like, who's Mark Ward? And you probably don't know who he is. Maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you have seen some of his videos. And he's basically, I've heard of him before. I saw a video that he had made, and I didn't really know much about him. I've heard a few things about him. I watched one video about him a while back, but I didn't really realize how prominent he was kind of becoming in the anti-King James only movement. And he really kind of tries to rub shoulders with King James only people in an attempt to try to get people to come away from the King James by saying that it's not readable anymore, that we can't understand the King James, and because it's archaic and Elizabethan English that we can't understand anymore, that the words meant different things back then, that we should move away from the King James and move to more modern Bible versions. And he, in the debate I watched, he recommends the New King James. So I'm gonna talk about that tonight. And the debate I'm talking about happened last Monday on October 21st. It was a debate between Daniel Hafley, Dr. Daniel Hafley, and Dr. Mark Ward at Dayspring Bible College on the readability of the King James Bible. So in the debate, the textual issue was not allowed to be brought up. So we all know that there's a textual issue between the text that was translated, you know, the Greek and Hebrew that was used to translate into the King James English, and then the modern versions, by and large, are translated out of the Westcott and Hort, the Frankenstein, yep, supposedly older and better manuscripts, right? But the New King James is translated from what they would say is the TR or the Textus Receptus. But a lot of times they go with the newer modern version. They'll say it's translated from the older, you know, the better manuscripts, but then they won't go with the TR rendering of the verse. So, and then also they'll change words for no reason. The words that should be plain to us to read, they'll change that in the New King James for no reason. And I'll go through that here, but I wasn't going to watch the debate, but then I decided that I would. And I was pretty disappointed with the debate, to be honest with you. I don't believe Mark Ward should have been given that platform. And the reason why is because, you know, these types of people, they have their fair speeches and they like to deceive the hearts of the simple. That's what he's out to do. He's out to just reach that one person that doesn't really understand the issues. And he'll take and twist things to make people try to come away that maybe just don't fully understand what the big deal is. And he'll try to make it seem like he just wants people to get on a different Bible, that we should retranslate, you know, and so that people can get a Bible in their current modern language. But make no mistake about it, he wants you to get rid of your King James and start using a more modern version of the Bible. He'll say he wants one translated to more modern English, but there really isn't a need to do that at this time. So Dr. Hafley, who was the Baptist preacher, I don't know if he's a pastor, I don't think he is, but he does work for the King James Bible Research Institute. I think he's part of that board that that makes all the King James stuff that Dr. Stringer is a part of and things like that. So he did pin him down over one thing. And it was about, it's something I'll bring up later on, but he did pin him down on one thing, but I just think he was too nice to the guy. This guy gets up and makes all of his points, and he's a very eloquent speaker, and he's making sharp points, and then he gets up and he's just, you know, debates between Christians, you know, if you start, we were talking about this before I started preaching, but they were saying, basically, if you're a Christian and you start getting nasty with somebody, then they're going to be like, oh, he's just too mean. But the other guy, he's just really super, he comes across super nice, and he's like, I just care whether people can understand their Bibles or not, and that's my only reason for doing this. But in reality, he's hiding his real agenda. And so basically, Mark Ward just kind of gets to puke out and use his little twisted points that he uses to try to, you know, capture people into coming along with what he's saying. He really does just want to undermine and to subvert people and wants them to get off the King James. So so this is basically what he's trying to do. This is what he does in the debate. They weren't allowed to talk about
what text was the right text and things like that. So he really had a big advantage over the other debater. So the Bible, and number one tonight, the Bible warns us about men like Mark Ward. The Bible warns us about people like this. Let's look at our text in verse 13 again. It says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Paul's writing this letter to Timothy, and he's saying, "Hey, Timothy, you're a pastor. I just want to warn you that there are people that are just evil men, and they are seducers. They're trying to cause harm, because to do evil is to cause harm. There are just people out there that are just plain reprobates like Janice and Jambres, who are just out to destroy people's faith. They, you know, they have no other reason but to destroy it. And they're not going to come in and say, hey, they're not going to walk in here dressed as Baphomet to try to seduce you and to stop using your King James. They're going to come in and they're going to be nice and they're going to talk nice, but they're going to be dressed like a sheep, but they're going to speak as a dragon. And they're going to be slick and try to deceive you. They're going to try to seduce you with their speech, and they're going to wax worse and worse. The Bible says deceiving and being deceived. So they're deceived themselves, but they're going to also try to deceive us. Romans chapter 16. Turn to Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. These types of people exist, and you know, people will say, you guys always have these boogeymen out there that are just trying to destroy the King James. Hey, they exist, folks. The Bible says that they exist, and they're out there, and they do try to corrupt the Bibles. I mean, look at how many different English Bibles we have. They're not trying to corrupt the Bibles. I mean, they don't all say the same thing, and they're all trying to make money off of them. And these types of people do creep into churches, and they do try to overthrow and people's faith. Look at Romans 16, 17. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." So Paul's also telling the Roman believers here that, hey, there's certain types of people. We need to mark them and avoid being around them, avoid being taught by them, avoid hanging out with them, avoid going to their churches, avoid being friends with them, avoid them, not hang out with them, not listen to their sermons, not listen to what they have to say. He said, when they're marked, we need to avoid them. Look at verse 18. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." See, they can be eloquent in their speech. They have good words. They seem nice, don't they? But in reality, Paul's saying they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Who do they serve then? They serve their own bellies, and ultimately, they serve the devil. That's who they serve. Turn to Jude chapter 1, the only chapter in Jude, but Jude 1, verse number 3. And in this chapter, most of it's dedicated to avoiding and detecting these types of people, false prophets, people that are foreordained to hell because of the things that they are and become. Look at verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And you know what? To be able to trust in the Word of God is earnestly contending for the faith. When we say, hey, you should be able to trust your Bible, that is something that we, you know, it's one of the bedrocks and cornerstones of something that we believe as Christians. We should be able to trust the Word of God that we have in our hands. And when people are putting doubt on that, then you know what? We need to contend with people like this. So when people get mad about us preaching sermons like this, then you know what? Hey, just get mad and go to a New King James Version Baptist church then and see just how those types of church operate. And then come back to this church and realize, hey, it's nice to be able to rest your head and know what the Bible actually says instead of some non-denominational church where they're showing different verses from different versions so they can tell you what they want you to think, right, instead of what the Bible actually says. But it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. There's people that creep in and they're unaware. They're unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They might not say that, but the Bible's saying that they do that. They might say, hey, he's my brother. This is what he says all the time, Mark Ward. He's like, my King James only brothers. He likes to say that, but when I show you what his church believes, which is something he advertises, you're going to be like, okay, well, you know, either explain yourself or explain why you have that on the front page of your personal website. But anyway, skip to verse 16. It says, these are murmurers, complainers. Oh, the Bible, I can't understand some of these words. Complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. This guy likes to use swelling words and uses academia to win people over. Oh, I got a PhD and I'm a doctor of this or that. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. This is the type of people that like to, you know, that they like to tell about all their PhDs and how learned they are and what they have a doctorate in and all this other stuff. So just keep these scriptures in mind as we go through this stuff. But I'm going to just read his about me from his own words on his own website. It says, my name is Mark Ward. I hold a PhD in New Testament interpretation from BJU Seminary. That's Bob Jones University. Used to be King James only, but now they're not. My dissertation was entitled Paul's Positive Religious Affections. I currently work for Crossway Publishers on special projects. Before that, I was a writer and editor and presenter for Logos, whose mission is to use technology to equip the church to grow in the light of the Bible. I have written several books, including Authorized, the Use and Misuse of the King James Bible, which comes highly recommended by D.A. Carson and has an accompanying Faith Life documentary. I attended Mount Calvary Baptist Church for 18 years while in Greenville, South Carolina. I pastored, I don't know why he quote marks this, I pastored an outreach congregation there Sunday mornings for the last almost six of the years. After moving to Washington, so he lives in Washington State here, I was something of an assistant pastor for 6 years, though ordained for only the last 9 months of that time at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Anacortes. The church voted to close toward the end of the COVID era. Must have been a pretty great leader. My family now attends Emmanuel Baptist Church of Mount Vernon, Washington, where we serve in various capacities. So they have a church about 3.5 hours north of here, about an hour north of Seattle, I would say. He says, I'm also the president of Bible Faculty Summit, a small annual colloquium for Bible scholars who hail from the same sliver of American Protestantism I do. So he hangs with the Bible scholars. He really is big on himself and his academia. But Mark Ward claims the King James has served its purpose, but is no longer readable and should be replaced with a new translation. He believes it's so unreadable that we can't understand it, and we need to put it away from us and take modern versions like the New King James. He cites 1 Corinthians 14 as his source for needing to replace the King James. And he talks about how, you know, the King James translators themselves used 1 Corinthians 14, and other reformers used that to tell the Catholic Church that we needed to have an English version in our own language, and that William Tyndale fought for those things, which is true. I mean, we should be able to have an English version that we can understand in our own language. So he uses those things to tug at people's heartstrings, and hey, look, if we could not understand this, if we get to the point where our English is so far different than, you know, it's just like nobody can in this room can read Middle English or understand it. I mean, Pastor Anderson can say what is it, Beowulf, and he has some passage of Beowulf memorized that he can say. But nobody can just sit there in this room and understand Middle English. That Beowulf is Middle English, and you can't understand it. You might be able to understand words here and there. So if we got to the point where you can't understand the Bible at all, then I would say, yes, we probably do need a new translation. But we are not there. I mean, who really has a hard time just understanding what the Bible says in this room? I mean, children can understand what the Bible says in this room, but he just makes it out like we just can't understand what the King James says. We're too stupid or whatever to understand what it says. And I would just disagree with you on that. But let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. And these are the verses that he uses to say, well, hey, we need to have words that we can understand. And he basically uses, you know, examples in the Bible, and he calls them false friends. Words that we think we understand in the King James, but people don't really understand those words in the context. But before we get there, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. It says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter for the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me." So he's just basically talking about, it's important to understand what people are saying to you. And then verse 19 says, "Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." And so this is the verse he really zeroes in on, and is like, he's basically likening that to the King James, that we could probably only understand like five of those words, and the other 10,000 we just can't understand or something, which is complete hogwash. It's just not true, folks. It's just a gross misconception. We can understand way more words than we don't understand. And yeah, are there some hard words in the King James? Yeah, there are. Do people misinterpret like what some of the words meant back then to what they mean right now? Of course. But that doesn't mean we need to throw the King James in the trash. Because you know what? I've never been out soul winning and ran into any other soul winners that were actually not in a cult. I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, that were using a New King James Version, an NIV, an NASB, an NLT, a Legacy Standard Bible. What's the other John MacArthur older one? The ESV. I've never seen that ever out soul winning. I've been soul winning for years. Has anybody else seen any of that? Any other church? No. And you know why? Because it doesn't exist. The only soul winners I've ever seen out soul winning or saw their invitations were other Baptists that used the King James. How do you explain that, buddy? You know why? Because that's the only Bibles that are getting people saved. That's the only kind of churches that are out doing soul winning. Amen. That's a fact. So this is his proof text. And he's basically saying if our language, and look, I agree, if our language gets to the point where we can't understand it anymore, we should have a new translation. And don't get all freaked out about that. I don't think we're anywhere close to that. I don't think that we're close at all. Number two tonight, Mark Ward says we need to get rid of the King James Version and replace it with a new translation because we can no longer understand it. Look at verse 14 back in our text. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Look, you should trust in the things that you already have learned and know that are true. Continue using the King James Bible because you know you can trust it. Why would you listen to some effeminate, sissy-sounding preacher, so-called preacher, so-called man of God, that if you just were listening to him talk in a room and you didn't know he was up talking, he wasn't talking about the Bible, you would think this dude sounds like a queer. Yep. If you listen to his videos, he sounds like a queer, okay? And I'm not saying that he is one for sure. I'm not accusing him of that. He's married. He has children. But is that the first, like, what? Yeah, just because someone's married and has children doesn't mean that there isn't sugar in the tank, all right? There are people that get married for a cover, all right? And I'm not saying that he is, but trust me, if you just pull up his video after the service and you listen to him talk for more than 5 seconds, you're going to be like, whoa. And he's got people that just jump on. If you say anything about that, like I just said, he sounds like a queer. And people are like, he just has a nasally voice. I know what the difference between a nasally voice is and someone that sounds like a queer. Okay? Believe me. There's a lot of queers in Portland. I've heard a lot of people that sound like it. He sounds like one, for sure. Okay? His wife should probably check his browsing history and maybe look at his phone to see if he has any special apps on there or something. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm going to attack what he believes more than his personal life here. But anyway, we should continue using the same Bible because we trust this Bible. We know, what do we know for sure about this Bible? It's powerful. Amen. When it's preached, you know that it's the Word of God. It's affected your life. I mean, you're here in church because of it. And not only that, you know its power to get people saved. Amen. I mean, how many people have you led to the Lord with a different kind of Bible version? Probably zero. I mean, you know that it gets people saved. You know its power in its preaching. You know that God, the Bible speaks about itself being preserved. And you know that it also says that there are many that corrupt the Word of God. So we know that there's corruptors out there, but we also know that there's one that's true. Which one is the one that's true besides this one? Is there one that's just been used more mightily than the King James in the last 400 years? Tell me which one it is. Which one has been sent out by more missionaries? Which one has gotten more people saved than the King James? You tell me that right now. But his argument, of course, in the debate was, it's time to set it aside. It needs to like go in the museum or whatever. So, but he specifically, of course, he knows he's around a bunch of King James-only Baptists. He specifically promoted the new King James in the debate because it's TR-based. But I've seen other videos where he likes other modern versions too. But he said TR-based because he knows that the King James-only people are not going to, they're never going to go to an NIV. They're never going to go to any other version that isn't TR-based. So he recommended the new King James. So, they do go with the minority modern Greek interpretation a lot, and they change complete words and phrases and sentences in, you know, more than I can even explain to you tonight, but I'm just going to give you some examples tonight. And so let's look at some of these. Turn to Exodus chapter 16, verse 28. So Exodus chapter 16, verse 28, I'll try to go through these fast. And so I'm going to compare what the New King James says, and you tell me if it's the same as what your Bible says. So somebody stand up and read what the King James says. Some man.
16:28?
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws?
Okay. How long refuse ye, right?
Ye.
Okay. Here's what the New King James says. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? So doesn't it kind of put doubt on who it's talking to right there? The King James uses the term ye, which is the plural term that would be you, right? But when it says you in our modern English, it could be talking to one person or it could be talking to multiple people. But doesn't it make it seem like it's saying, if it says, how long, and the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Which one's more correct? the one that has the proper tense and the proper word, because is Moses the one that's not keeping the commandments, or is it the children of Israel? It's the children of Israel that aren't keeping the commandments. He's just telling Moses to tell them that. So that is a big difference, isn't it? It might not seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal. So tenses mean things. When you take out the these and the thys and the yees and yous and all that kind of stuff, when you take out the pronouns and the tenses of those pronouns, it does make a difference in how you read the words in the Bible. And so that's what the New King James does. It takes out and it takes the these and thous out. And that's what people say, it's so hard to understand. How is it so hard to understand? Are you stupid or something? It's not that hard. Yep. Ye, you, and yours, plural. Thee, thine, and thou, singular. It's not that difficult, folks. And when people say, I just can't understand it, well, get saved then, buddy. It's not that difficult. And or just get a tutor. Or let me help you tutor. Thee, thine, thou, singular. Okay, you passed the test. It's not that difficult. And you're saying you can't understand the King James? Really? Maybe you just don't want to understand it. Maybe you just want, I don't like that. That it says thee. Why? Because you just don't want to understand it. So, what about when Jesus, you know, Nicodemus comes to Jesus? How about that one? Ye must be born again. Is he just talking to Nicodemus there? Because we could just take it that way, couldn't we? Ye must be born again. Is he just talking to Nicodemus, or is he talking to everybody? He's talking to everybody. We all must be born again. Because, in the King James it says ye must be born again. But what's it going to say in the New King James? Not the right tense, not the right pronoun. What about the word Sheol? Who's watched New World Order Bible versions? When the New King James translates words that are supposed to be hell in the Bible, they translate it as Sheol and leave the Hebrew word in there and don't translate it on purpose. They translate the ones in the New Testament as Hades or Gehenna or whatever. They don't put hell in there. Why do they do that? The New King James claims to be more accurate because it leaves untranslated words. Why would it untranslate a word? When you watch New World Order Bible versions, they actually go around and ask people, what does Sheol mean? And then this one black guy in there, he's like, Sheol? Like, you know, a shield? He has no clue. People don't know what that means. The average person on the street, we could go out right after service and just go to Walmart and ask the average person, what does Sheol mean? They're not going to know what that is. Or Hades or Gehenna. They're not going to know what that is. And you're trying to tell me that the King James needs to be put in a museum? Everybody knows what hell is. Every single person you go to the door, even if they don't believe in God, they know what hell is. Everybody knows what it is. Everybody knows what the... So you're telling me that the King James is harder to understand? That people can't understand the King James Bible because it says the word hell? You're going to promote the New King James Version? Get out of here, you effeminate sissy. What are you talking about? Nobody believes that. That's garbage. They untranslate the words. That's like, you know, some Bibles will say the Nephilim instead of saying there were giants in the world, in the earth in those days. They'll say, they'll untranslate it and say Nephilim just so they can preach the Nephilim doctrine. The Bible in the King James says hell. There might be times when they'll translate the same Greek word as the grave, but the Bible uses the word hell over and over again because everybody understands what that is. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. We'll get back to the hell thing here in just a minute, but that's ridiculous that they're going to just leave it untranslated in the New King James. That's easier, though. That's easier to understand. You want to make it easier? And you think that the King James is harder? I don't think so. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Let's see what the New King James says. Someone stand up and read 2 Corinthians 2:17 in the King James. Can I get a man? Brother Ramon? Nice and loud.
2 Corinthians 2:17.
Yep.
For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ.
Excuse me, sorry. So it says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, is what it says, right? Yep. Right? It's the short part of it. Here's what the New King James says. Peddling the word of God. We're not as many as peddling the word of God. It's a big change, isn't it? Why don't they want to put corrupt? Because they're peddling it. Huh? Yeah, they're corrupting it. How's that easier to understand? Titus 3:10, I won't have you turn there, but it says, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Yep. Well, I know why he probably likes the New King James Version, because it says reject a divisive man instead. He doesn't want to be rejected as a heretic, he just wants to be a divisive man. Because that's what the NIV, the New King James takes on the NIV, the NASB, and the RSV, the HIV. They take on those renderings instead of what the King James would take on. Because if it's really that close, why would you change how the verse is? Why would you change what the verse says if it doesn't need to be changed? Do you know what a heretic is? Yeah. Well, that's a lot different than being a divisive man, isn't it? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. In the New King James Version, it says, abstain from every form of evil. So, and then Isaiah, well, I'll just skip that one. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Matthew 7, verse 14, this is a really bad one that they have in here. And this deals with salvation. Matthew 7:14. Someone get up and read the King James Version. Mikey?
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
So straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Here's the New King James. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Who find it? So they're saying that salvation's difficult. Is salvation difficult or is salvation easy? So he likes the Bible version that makes salvation hard, that makes salvation difficult. That is a change in the meaning. It's not making it easier, it's making it harder. It's tampering with salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. This is a bad one too. Let's turn over there. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. Says, for verily he took not on the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So he didn't take on the nature of angels, like the way that they're built, their skin, whatever form their body is, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham is man, right? Look, and so the New King James says this, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. That's not even the same ballpark, folks. That's not even the same at all. That completely just changes the meaning of the verse. Yeah, but it's the same as the King James, right? It's just they changed the these and thous. It just helps you understand it more. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I'm definitely not going to have time to finish this sermon. I'm going to have to do part 2. All right. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. So the King James, go ahead and someone get up and read the King James. Bill?
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death.
All right, the New King James says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of Hades and death. Why would you change it to Hades right there? What does that, I mean, what does that even mean? Because they'll say, well, that's the abode of the dead. But is that where Jesus went? Did he go to the abode of the dead? No, he went to hell. That's what the Bible says. I mean, I didn't look for Acts chapter 2, but I mean, maybe somebody wants to look that up while we're...
16.
Oh yeah, we go in there. We go in there. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, though. Matthew 16, 18. It's okay, Brother Sean. We're on the same wavelength here. He's like, don't forget about that one. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Someone want to read Matthew 16, 18? Brando?
And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Very famous verse, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Here's the New King James. And also I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Doesn't really have the same snap to it, does it?
Right.
The gates of Hades. What is that exactly? The abode of the dead will not prevail against it. Like, whatever. Because that's what they mean by that. They don't believe that it's hell.
Right.
They're interpreting it as something different. All right, Sean. Luke 16:23. Luke 16:23. You guys can all turn there if you want. I mean, they change hell in multiple verses in the New Testament, but I'm just showing you a few. Go ahead.
And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom.
Another famous verse.
Amen.
In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments.
Yep.
Here's the New King James. And being in torments in Hades, he lift up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I mean, well, the abode of the, he's being in torments in the abode of the dead. Doesn't really have the same snap to it, does it? I mean, which one's easier to understand? Because apparently, you know, he says that the King James is hard to understand, isn't it? But then you're gonna translate it Hades. And nobody even knows what that is. It's the Greek version of hell. So I don't even have time to rattle all these off, but I mean, the New King James switches out hell for Hades in tons of different verses through Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, 1 Corinthians, James, 2 Peter, Revelation 1:18, 6:8, 20:13, 20:14. You know where it says you'll be cast in the lake of fire? Apparently, it's the lake of Hades in Revelation 20, 13, and 14. Hades is a transliteration of the Greek word, and could be argued that it's not an error to use the actual Greek word instead of translating it, but that's not the point. But I think it is an error, because the English word for Hades, you know, for the place of burning, of the place where people go to burn for all eternity, is hell. We don't. That's the Greek word for it. We speak English, so to leave it untranslated is just weird.
Yes.
And okay, so there are words that are transliterated that we didn't have English words for. That's why William Tyndale used transliteration in some of his, you know, he made up the word Passover, and the Day of Atonement and stuff like that, and Easter and things like that. But they had a word for the place where people go when the wicked dead go, and that was called hell. And that's why we use the word hell, and that's why everybody knows exactly what hell is. So anyway, let's move on to the word. And I just, you know, I couldn't help myself. I had to go to this portion of it. And yeah, we're definitely not going to be able to finish. I'll have to do a part two or something next week. Maybe I'll finish it on Thursday. Let's see. Tony. The world's loudest chirping alarm. All right, so let's go to 1 Kings chapter 14. I wanted to see what they did with the word sodomites in the New King James. And I know I've maybe we've checked some of this in other modern versions, but I don't know that I'd ever looked in the New King James. But I just kind of want to see, like, you know, because in modern times, like, people say people don't even say anything about homosexuality in the New Testament. There's nothing about sodomites in the New Testament. There's nothing about them. There's like maybe a couple mentions. Well, that's because they change it on purpose. So, I didn't really want to make this sermon about this, but like when it came to my attention last night when I was studying about this, I was just like, I couldn't believe it. How much they changed and why would they do this? 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24. What does the King James say? It says, "And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Here's what they say in the New King James. They say, "And there were also perverted persons in the land." That's a pretty broad statement, isn't it? Couldn't that mean a lot of different things? Is that really crystal clear? Does that tell you and pinpoint to you and make the meaning just sharp for you so that that's more intelligible to you than the King James? I mean, when you see sodomites, you know exactly what it's talking about. But when it says perverted persons, that could be a lot of different things. It could be a perverted person when it comes to religion because people pervert the gospel. It could be a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily mean they're a sodomite. But it has like a little thing where a footnote thing next to it. It says, "There are also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before them." So in order to know what the true meaning of this is, you have to go to the footnotes. And the footnote says, "Hebrew Kadesh, one practicing sodomy and prostitution in religious rituals." So, you know, the other modern versions will say temple prostitutes or whatever. So I think that that's what it's trying to say. So what are they doing? They're trying to go with the rendering of the other modern versions instead of just saying what it is. So I think that if they put homosexuals there, that would probably be more clear, at least, than saying perverted persons. I mean, you could make a case for that. But, you know, because a lot of people, like if you say sodomite, they might not know, the average person might not know because it's so dumbed down in our society now. Yeah, maybe they wouldn't know what that means right off the bat. But I'm sure they could figure it out if they just used their brains for a couple seconds. Sodomite, sodomy. Oh, I see what you're saying. Anyway, 1 Kings chapter 15. I'll make it really easy for you. We'll just go down, let your fingers do the walk into the next chapter. And let's see what they do with 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 12. It says, "And they took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made." What does it say in the New King James Version? Well, I'm sorry to say that they made it pretty confusing again. It says, "And he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made." And then, of course, they have the other footnote there. It says again, Hebrew Kadeshim, those practicing sodomy and prostitution and religious rituals. So notice it says practicing sodomy, because this is the other sticking point for the modern thinking Christian, right? If they're practicing it, then that's when it's bad. If they're not practicing it, they say they're not practicing it, they're okay. They repented of their sins, they're good to come to our church. Or they're doing some sort of prostitution involving it. So now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 46. And I'll read for you the King James once again. It says, "Then he tore down..." I'm sorry, I guess I didn't put down the King James. Somebody read this one for me. I didn't copy and paste it in. 22:46. 1 Kings. Go ahead.
"And the remnant of the sodomites which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land."
So the remnant of the sodomites that remained, he took out of the land, right? So what does the New King James say? It says, "And the rest of the perverted persons who remained in the days of his father Asa, he banished from the land. So, you know, it's saying the same stuff, right? Here in the footnotes, it says, one practicing sodomy and prostitution and religious rituals. So it keeps just saying the same thing over and over again. Now let's look at the term sodomite alone by itself. I guess it's the last one that says sodomite. So let's turn to 2 Kings 23, verse 7. 2 Kings 23, verse 7. And the Bible says, in the King James, it says, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Now, this one's really interesting because it says, in the New King James Version, it says, then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons. The ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord where the women wove hangings for the wooden image. So I just thought this was a really interesting way of saying that, the ritual booths. I've never heard this term before. So I looked down in the footnotes and it says literally house. What's the King James say? What's it say in your verse right there? Houses. So they changed the word from house, which is the literal meaning in the Hebrew, which is what the King James says, to put ritual booths. Is that what it, and the footnote says literally houses. So you're telling me that's more of an accurate translation than what the King James says? No, it just fits their agenda. That's why they put ritual booths. So it could look like a ritual prostitution house or something. It says literally houses. It's talking about queers having houses close to the house of the Lord, and they broke those houses down and chased them out of town. Amen. That's what it's talking about. They tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons. The temple shrine prostitutes is basically what they want to say, and they tore down their little pervert palaces or whatever that were in the house of the Lord where the women... So this one says that we're in the house of the Lord. What does the King James say? That we're by the house of the Lord. So they changed that too. So which one's right? I mean, they admit that they're lying in the footnote because it says literally houses. So they're admitting that they changed the verse there. So which one's more accurate, friends? It's the King James. So that's why you should, and you're like, well, why do you have to bring up the sodomites all the time? Well, number one, I don't bring them up all the time, but I just kind of wanted to know. And then I was like, when I saw this, I was like, are you kidding me? They have to change this too? No wonder why we have fags all over our nations. Why? No wonder why we have them all over our churches and their flags running down the sides of all the buildings in town and people going, you're so hateful and mean. Why do you not let them in? I'll tell you why, because they're not going to have a little shrine in our church. They're not going to have a little temple, a temple hut in our church or whatever they called it. Good stinking nine. They're not going to have their little houses next to ours. We're not going to feed them from, you know, some we're not going to feed them chili. We're not going to feed them cornbread. We're not going to feed them anything. We're not even going to let them in. Yep. When they come in, we're going to tell them to leave. Amen. Because if they weren't allowed to God's house in the Old Testament, why would we let them in now? Deuteronomy, I mean, we're going to be finished here real soon, so don't get worried. I still have multiple pages to go, but I'm going to finish this at a later date. But I did want to just finish this point. So, but look, you don't want, well, turn to Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. This is where it has the solo sodomite in there. The only time the term sodomite is by itself not being plural in the whole Bible. Because, you know, this guy, he likes to call the words that the King James, that people normally mistake, he calls them false friends. You know, he calls them false friends, but really there's a lot of false friends in the New King James. Like, you know, he tries to make sodomites our false friends by telling us to go to the New King James. And, you know, you'll never see the word sodomite in the New King James because they've taken it out of there. So they become false friends to us because they cover them up and hide them and pretend that they don't exist. And so, yeah, I could see that's just another angle of why they don't want the King James in little children's hands. They don't want the King James in our hands. They want us to get rid of them. So, you know, and hey, there's plenty of reasons why the enemy wants them out of our hands, and this is just one part of it. But look what it says in the King James. Oh, let's see. Did I write it in here? Yeah, somebody read it for me, please. Deuteronomy 23:17.
There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel.
Okay, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Here's what are you ready for this one? there shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel. It's okay to be a harlot, just not a ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel, or a perverted one of the sons of Israel. That's what it says. So they took the term sodomite out of the Bible in their version. And then when you go to the footnotes, it says female Kadesha. And then it says Hebrew Kadesh. So, but we know that the words are close for whore and sodomite. But it doesn't say ritual harlot. There's no such thing as ritual harlot. They're just making this up, folks. That is not a true term that's used in the Bible. They're making that up. And then the whole perverted one, it says one practicing sodomy and prostitution and religious rituals. So they're just, these people are not, it's okay to have these people in just as long as they're not practicing and they're not in religious rituals. You see how they lie? And then he's promoting this. Like, do you think he just doesn't know this? Do you think he's never stumbled upon this in all the 32,000, you know, word studies that he's done? He's never come across this part in the Bible? I don't think so. I think he just has some false friends that he doesn't want to tell you about. And these friends are sodomites. But I mean, if you sound like one, you might not want to blow the whistle on this part of the, you know, of the fact that the Bible he wants to recommend to people just kind of takes these deviants out. So he recommends other modern Bible versions as well and defends them. But, you know, he uses, you know, these types of trap words, like these things that he says are false friends. He uses these things to try to trap Christians and say, well, maybe we do need a new version. And so he'll take words like the study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he'll do quizzes with people. He did a quiz in his in the debate, and people were getting some answers right and some answers wrong. And let's see. I'll probably just start off with that when I finish my sermon. We'll just go right to the false friends. And then you can kind of understand. I just don't have time to finish it tonight. I think we're out of time. But we'll start off on the false friends part, and I'll just mark my place here. And then we'll just go ahead and close up for here. But look, this guy, he's a phony. He wants people to get rid of the King James. And he probably has all kinds of different reasons why. But the main reason, and he'll just, you know, people mock at what I'm saying tonight and you know, make it out to where I'm just a hater and I'm just a mean brother in Christ or whatever. And he really does believe in the Lord. Well, on part two, you're going to find out that there's some weird things that he believes. There's weird things that his church believes. And I'm going to expose those things on the next sermon. And his little list of false friends, there's a lot of false friends that I've already just exposed tonight. The fact that he promotes a Bible version that has false salvation in it. They hide the sodomites out. And then there's word change, just completely changing of what the verses actually mean in the New King James. So if I've already destroyed that, just and that's just some of the stuff, folks. That, you know, and also the hell. Taking hell out, the doctrine of hell out of the Bible, like what in the world? The blood is missing multiple times out of the verses in the New Testament. Why would you take the blood out? Why you got a problem with the blood, John MacArthur? Because they just want to attack the Bible and attack the doctrines of Christ. And he'll say, oh, no, that's not true. I don't want that. What? Then why are you attacking the King James? So I'll cover all the rest of the stuff in the next sermon I preach about it, but let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the King James, Lord, and to know that we can trust it and to know that, you know, any child can understand it with the ability to read. And Lord, we're going to keep on using it at this church. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us with these types of sermons to strengthen our faith, and that men like Mark Ward would be rebuked and reproved and not given platforms to try to do damage to the body of Christ and to Baptist churches. And Lord, I pray that people that listen to his stuff would be able to see alternatives where his phony games are brought to naught, and the things that he proposes to teach are destroyed. Lord, I pray that you would just expose him for all the wickedness that's in his heart, and that, Lord, that you would just continue to use this great book and use your people to continue to get people saved in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.